Pshas Beshalach. Shabbos Shira. The birds are going to, we have to go put the food out for the birds. It's so cold. I don't know if the birds are going to come this Shabbos. The birds, okay, there's a minute to put out, there's a minute, Dr. Frucht, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. There's a minute to put out bread, Erev Shabbos.
Bread or food?
Bread.
Whatever, bread, whatever you want to put. Chitim, what is it? Chitim?
They eat bread.
No, you're doing it for a purpose. Whatever it is, in order, you put this out in order to give to. There are many different reasons why you do this. It's not our topic. Number one, because birds are the Balei Shira. From all the creatures in the world, the creature that knows how to sing, among the, at least in the animal kingdom, are birds. They are called the masters of song. They chirp. We may not appreciate their melody and their musical skills. So in order to share with them the joy that this week is the ultimate song, Shabbos Shira, we invite them to rejoice with us. That's a very popular reason. Another reason that's very popular is because they took away the mun that Dasan va'aviram put out to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he told them that you should not, there will not be any mun. No, he told them there will not be, mun will not fall on Shabbos. They were Machal Shabbos. They went out Friday night and they put the mun out in order to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu to show that there is mun, and the birds came early in the morning and they took away the mun in order not to allow their lie and their evil plot to take root in the minds of the Jewish people. So we pay their einikloch. We go and we feed them the Shabbos. Those are the two most. There are probably another 10 reasons. But those are two. Those are the most. Sorry.
Did the mud just dissolve away after the time?
So, you're asking a good question. Obviously, there was something that they were able. They would have been successful. The mud did not dissolve immediately. It would have been there long enough in order to perpetuate a lie. Okay, that's not our topic. That's a side thing. This week is Shabbos Shira. And it is a very beautiful Shabbos, the beautiful Shira. We have a Shira of Moshe, and we have beautiful Haftarah. It's a very long Haftarah. Vatoshar Devira, especially we start from the very beginning. Udvira Isha Nevio, Eshes Lapidois, He Shaifta Es Yisholbo Esahi. And we have a whole story. And there's also in the Haftarah a very painful challenge, and especially in the Shira, where she takes to task a major segment of the Jewish people as to why they did not come to participate the army to fight the battle. Liflagois, Ruvain Gidoilim Chikrei Leif. Ruvain, Shavid, Ruvain, why did you not participate? It's baffling. Gidoilim Chikrei Leif. It's baffling as to what were you thinking. And likewise, she goes on to rank out many of the Shvatim as to why they did not participate. The Navi, the Haftorah, is filled with the most powerful Musar. How do you stand back, and allow other people to give up their lives and spill their blood for you, and you don't even blink?
Do they lay this Haftorah in Leah's room?
I was wondering.
Everyone lays this Haftorah, and this Haftorah is the most powerful Musar to us in America. When we go, we walk the streets here with our nose up in the air, when we don't participate in the Tzahal, in the Chayalei Tzva Haganah Yisrael, who literally put their lives on the line for us. Okay, we have to answer. I have to give din v'cheshen for this, and it's not so posh just to brush off the question. When in Shiras Devora, she very powerfully goes through a whole list. It's almost half of Klal Yisrael. And each one, she ranks out with extremely powerful words. You rather sit there and listen to the shrikos adorim. You sit there on the farm and listen to the cattle make noises, and then go and participate with your brethren in them giving up their lives. The Haftorah is not a pleasant Haftorah. It is a Shira. It is Ruach HaKodesh. and it's molev godush with musar, as the musar haskel to take away is when someone is suffering, you have to be there and suffer with him. Imoy anoichi b'tzara. It's very, very frightening. Okay, that's not what I wanted to talk about either, but now let's get to the parsha. Bahi b'shalach paria sa'om v'leinachem v'lekim derech eretz plishtim ki koreifu. Hashem did not take them through the straight path. Hashem did not take Klal Yisrael down the straight path. Instead, he took them towards the Yam Suf, derech akalasain, a roundabout way to go into Egypt. Why? Because pen, they'll be mechama. If they'll go straight, if they'll go directly into Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, they will encounter war. And they're going to come up against the Canaanim, they're going to be enemies, and then they're going to be afraid, and they're going to return. Let me just turn to the right page, read the Pasuk precisely. Okay, the Parasha, V'loy nocham elukim derech eretz pilishim. Okay, without taking out a map and studying exactly what it should have been, it was a much simpler route to travel, to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem did not guide them through the Anani HaKavod, with that, the Amud HaOnon, down that path. Why? Because Ashki Koroifu, it's near. Ki Omar Lokim, Pen Yinochemam, the people will regret. They will regret that they left Egypt when they bir oisam milchama vishavu mitzrayma. Now, the question is, really? Really? Is that really true? Think about it. They've suffered for 210 years. Okay, really, they didn't suffer totally, but for 86 years they suffered. The Egyptians murdered their children. They took their children and put them into bricks. They tortured them. And Hashem brought about upon the Egyptians the 10 Makos. And remember also, 4/5 of the Jewish people died in the Holocaust. 4/5. Because 4/5 of the people, they base, according to Rashi at least, v'chamushim, I mean, I don't know how you get out of this, v'chamushim, only 1/5 of the Jewish people left Egypt. So there was a Holocaust that was even greater than the Holocaust that we suffered 75 years ago. Okay, v'chamushim olu v'nei Yisrael. And why did 4/5 of the people die? Because they were Rishoyim. Why were they Rishoyim? Because the Egyptians succeeded in destroying their neshamas. The Egyptians went and infected them with poison in their neshama, and they were not worthy to leave Egypt, and they died during the 3 days of Choshech. That's what Rashi says. It's baffling. It's so baffling, it's almost impossible to understand what's going on over here. And the Egyptians, they were smitten with the 10 Makos, and they took their money, and there was Kriyas Yamsuf. Tell me, do you really think that Klal Yisrael, after all of this, is going to want to go back to Egypt? Really? Why would even some of them want to go back?
Stockholm Syndrome.
They left that. Stockholm Syndrome is you don't want to leave. It's not that you want to go back. Stockholm Syndrome is you have a person, you're in it, you become part of the gang, you don't want to leave your captivity. But once you've already tasted freedom, that's not Stockholm Syndrome. You're going to want to go back?
You're not.
You want to go back to Egypt?
Before you get into Israel,
you're
still in that.
Go to another country. Go to other countries to go to.
Else.
Go to other. There's nowhere else to go. You go to Edom, Moab. There's nowhere to go.
No.
You don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay,
many
you don't.
Prison is long
you
going
do want
back
to go, but you're afraid to be
safe. Okay, it's true. I don't know because we weren't there, so we really.
My explanation is that it was easier to conquer Mitzrayim because it's destroyed. Mitzrayim was destroyed already. Makot and nothing.
So you say they want to go back to conquer Egypt. To conquer the whole Egypt. They become the masters.
Marco at the beginning he said,
they're gonna all right, so if Kalman is saying is that they're gonna go back to Egypt not to become citizens but to become the leaders. They're gonna rule the country. Right, you can say many, many svaras. There are many different svaras, but I do believe that there is. We don't really know because we don't really understand the total nature of the situation, the circumstance of what was going on in the world, and what their options were. But they're coming now into Eretz Yisrael, and they meet the Pelishtim, and it's an ugly situation to go to war. So what are our options? So the Pasuk says they're going to go back to Egypt. Now, you can't deny that it's a little bit difficult to say that. Maybe it is. Maybe they would. I'm not saying this. But really? You're really going to go back to Egypt after all that? After all that, you're going to go back to Egypt? You don't have any other option? So you're telling me over here that, yeah, all right, if you're right, you're right. I'm not going to argue. But I think there is still a question. The question is a valid question that, really? What is the pasuk telling you? It's telling you something that's not plausible. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're telling me the human nature, they're going to go back, the Stockholm Syndrome. Okay, but I'm still suggesting to you that it is a bit of a shock. It's a bit of a shock that you would want to go back where you came from after everything that happened. So I want to give you an answer. And the answer I'm giving you is not really my answer. It's what Rashi says. And just appreciate what Rashi says. Rashi really adds a lot into the pasuk that the pasuk does not say. Rashi does not say that they're going to go back. He doesn't say that. Rashi says, his words are, "Biroisam milchama." Okay, let me find the word. Rashi vayasev. Okay, v'loy nocham. Hashem did nohagam. It's the first Rashi. V'loy Hashem did not guide them. Next, "Amerish agur biroisam milchama." Okay, milchamas amalek. Let me find over here. Malchu imhalchu ma'im. Pen Yinochem, here it is, here's the Rashi. Here is the Rashi, Pen Yinochem. Okay, Rabbi Yisar, please, Rab Dov, please. Pen Yinochem, Yachshavu Machshava. They're going to think a thought, Al Sheyotsu, the Yitnu Leiv, and they're going to think in their mind, they're going to direct their heart, Loshuv. Rashi goes out of his way to say that when it says in the Pasuk, Pen, when they'll see milchama, v'shavu mitzroima, it does not mean they will actually go back. It is not practical at this point in time to turn around 180 degrees and go back and say to Egypt, guess what? We're back. It's not practical. Rashi seems to be saying, impossible. Impossible that at this point in time, after everything that happened, they're going to make a 180 and go back and live happily ever after in Egypt. Oh, but the pasuk says the words v'shavu mitzroima. You know what it means? It means in their minds they're going to say, we made a mistake. We made a mistake, and if we could, we would go back. What is Rashi saying? And this is a very practical lesson, Musa Haskell, to take out of the parasha. Don't ever in your life think, I made a bad mistake. Masha hoya kivar hoya. You may have made a bad decision. It's taka true. There are people who make bad decisions, undeniably. But what are you going to do about it? It's irreparable. The damage is irreparable. You have to, in your mind, you have to cut off the past. I made a mistake. People, they make mistakes in life, and they live the rest of their life haunted by their bad decision. And their whole life, they're, okay, we have no choice. We don't have a choice. It's not practical to go. So we'll go to Eretz Yisrael. But when we go to Eretz Yisrael, yeah, should have really stayed in Egypt. Yeah, next thing, should have really stayed. You're not gonna have a heart. Your heart is not gonna be in it. You're not gonna proceed in life with passion and with conviction and with satisfaction. Because every step you take in life, it could have been better. It could have been different. Because if I had not made that mistake, it would have been different, it would have been better. Okay, now we have this. It's plan B. I don't want that. Hashem says they're very weak. Klal Yisrael, they're very, very weak. They're coming out of Egypt. If they're going to see milchama, they're going to be terrified. So what are they going to do? Oh boy, we've made a big mistake. We should have never left. And you know, if we could, we would go back. Yidnu lev l'shuv mitzrayim. Can we go back? No, we can't. It's just not possible. But if we could, we would. And therefore, when they now go further to fight, and the Anan, the Amud He'onon brings them into the next battle, they're not going to be with the program. They're not going to go with conviction. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to feel they're doing. Hashem is guarding them to their destination. It affects you. If you are going to dwell and just obsess over your bad decisions you've made in life, you're not going to be able to move forward with satisfaction. So Hashem, I don't want this. I don't want them ever to think for one moment they made a mistake. So I don't want to present them with milchama, the milchama of the Pelishtim right away. So vayasev elokim esam derech hamidbor yam suf. Because kiyamar elokim, pen yinochem ha'ambiroysa milchama. When they're going to have regret, when they're going to see the wars that they're going to have to fight immediately when they go down the straight path, v'shavu mitzroyma, they're not going to go back. Rashi says, they're not going to go back. You can't go back at this point in time. It's a point that you made a decision and it's beyond repair. It's irreversible what your decision is. But what's going to happen? Rashi is very precise. Rashi takes the pasuk out of its simple translation and provides a whole idea. Yachshivu machashova. They're not going to go back. They're going to think, oh, if only we could go back. If you're going forward with a machshav, if only we could go back, your one step forward is going to be a disaster. It's going to lead to a lot of blood. It's going to be horrible. Yachshu machshava al sheyatsu v'yitnu lev l'ashuv. Yitnu lev l'ashuv. Not that they're actually going to return. They're not going to return. But they're going to wish they could return. And if you're wishing you could have had something else when you move forward, it's a chorben she'en kamohu. And the Musar Haskel for us is that in life, sometimes we do things and we shouldn't be like this. We make mistakes, we make big mistakes, major mistakes, but nu masha hoya kvar hoya. Forget about it. Now we're dealing with a new situation, and now you have to plow ahead like nothing ever happened before. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea in this parasha, I want to make sure that they come to Kriyas Yamsuf. Rashi says when they come to Kriyas Yamsuf, the Paro takes with him 600 chariots. V'chol rechev bochur. Rashi asked the question, where did the Egyptians get these animals from? There was Dever, and there was Borod. Where in the world did the Egyptians have 600, I think it's 1800, because each rechev had three horses for each rechev. Where did they get three horses for each one of their chariots? Where did they get them? So Rashi says, Rashi is a long Rashi, they got them from Min Hayore Dvar Elokim. There were people who in Egypt who Yirei Shemayim, who feared God, like we discussed today in the morning, who actually Goyim, they saw the Koyach of Hashem. It was a massively large country. They saw the Makos. And they had a sense of Yirah Shemayim, and they listened to Moshe, and they were not affected. The animals did not die in Dever. And then when it came to Borod, they brought their animals indoors to protect them because they believed in the words of Moshe that they would be Borod and their animals would die. And they believed in Moshe that Yirah Shemayim, they brought their animals indoors and they protected them. And now they, so that's how they had horses. That's horses. These people who were once upon a time Yirei Elokim, all of a sudden they turned sour. And now they decided, you know what? Let's go and chase after the Jews. Let's donate our horses to the king so he can chase after Klal Yisrael and kill them. And Rashi goes on to say, from here you learn that the best Mitzri smash his skull. Now what does he mean by the best Mitzri? It's a Pella. What if Rashi said, Mamasha Pella? What do you mean by the best? Means a Mitzri who's a Yorei Elokim. a Mitzrayan Egyptian who fears God, smash his skull, because look at history. He had over here the Egyptians who were Vasher Yorei Devar Elokim, those who feared Hashem. They feared the word of Hashem, but they did. That's an Amadrega. You can't deny the fact. They're not Yiras Adonimus, but even that, they did have a sense of year. You can't deny the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says Hashem is going to bring a miracle and send down Barad. It's a Madrega. It's not Yiras Adonimus. It's not the Yiras Shemaim of the Chazon Ish. But there's a Yiras Elokim. Moshe says there's going to be a Makabar. The animals are going to die. They're afraid. So it's a Pella. These are Yirei Elokim. And Rashi says, this Egyptian who fears God, kill him. Kill him. Because you know what's going to happen? Eventually, he's going to run out of steam. He's going to run out of steam eventually. His Yiras Elokim is going to run out of steam. And then he's going to donate his horse to kill Jews. Because the Yiras Elokim is not going to last. It's an incredible insight into Yiras Elokim. Just because the person, we think that by Yiras Elokim, the more, you know, it's like the Madrig, you have a little, it's better to have a little Yiras Elokim than have no Yiras Elokim. Not so poshut.
We have the difference of Yira Oynish and Yira Elokim.
There was Yira Saroimimos. Okay, right, you're 100% correct. You have to go in all the different Madrigos. This is a very complicated topic, and you're right. But it's just at the face value, it's a Pella. You have here people who have demonstrated fear of Hashem, and yet they should be executed despite the fact they fear Hashem, because proof is in the pudding. Ultimately, these people, they ran out of steam. The Yiras Elokim ran out, and then they changed their mind and they used the weapons that they've saved only because they had Yiras Elokim to now go and chase after the Jews and kill the Jews.
It was an ulterior motive here.
Money. Money, but so what?
Yeah, the year turned right around and gave it up.
Money, so they ran out of steam because the love for money, it overpowered their Yiras Elokim. But you can't deny there was Yiras Elokim. Rashi says, well, since an Egyptian has more love for money than Yiras Elokim, so even though he does demonstrate Yiras Elokim, but when push comes to shove, he's going to kill you. So don't be so impressed with the Yiras Elokim. Don't be so impressed. Okay, it's a very difficult concept over here. But
by the way, the Torah says in two places about returning to Mitzrayim. Number one, lo tosifun lashuv baderech hazeh od.
Okay.
It's a halakha. Number two, the hamelech lo yarbeh lo susim lemaan abot sus lo yashiv et ha'am Mitzrayim.
Okay.
So something that Hashem is against that return to Mitzrayim. It is like an obsession throughout the Torah. No Mitzrayim.
Okay. That's a different topic. Absolutely. Okay. Echanami. There is a prohibition to return to Egypt. Fine. Now, let's go a little bit further over here. When Klal Yisrael came to the Yam, it says in the Pasuk, Vayar Yisrael, they saw the Egyptians chasing after them. Vayiru Me'oid. They were terrified. Why were they terrified? Hashem did for them already so many miracles. What exactly, why should Klal Yisrael, they have a lot of experience. They have the Haftach of the Ovos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they have the Makos, they're already at least six months of Makos. Their response is,
It was a whole year,
Makos. Don't you think that by now the miracles, Makos Bechoros, they're so scared? I mean, I would be terrified, of course. What's going on over here? The Egyptians are. They saw the horses. It's a very important point. It says they saw kol sus rechev paro ufarashav v'chelal piach yidoyes lefei bal tzafon ufaro hikriv vayisu v'nei shalos enem vayar v'nei shalos moseachadeim vayiru me'oid. They were terrified. And they said to him, Vayitz'aku, they cried. And they said to Moshe the greatest insult, Hamibli, ein kivarim b'mitzrayim, lekachtanu lamus b'midbar, mazois v'sisulanu liyotzim b'mitzrayim, halayzeh hadavah. They all the way went, they went back to before the Makos. They mamish went all the way back in Madrega. To halayzeh hadavah asher dibarnu ilech b'mitzrayim lemar chadal min around b'mitzrayim. Rashi over here says, what did they say? Rashi quotes the pasuk. This was what they said to Moshe when Moshe met Parah for the first time. Well, it says, for the first time, and Parah, don't give them straw. We're going back now to the very, very. They want the hechra madrega, the highest madrega. Uvechol b'nei Yisrael hayo or b'moshe voisam. And Hashem nosen es chein ha'am b'enei mitzrayim. V'uish Moshe godol me'oid b'enei Pharaoh v'enei chol ha'am. Klal Yisrael, they went from nothing to saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, they cursed Moshe. They cursed him. They said Hashem should judge you. Ki hivashtem es reichenu. They mamish, they cursed Moshe. And they went from that all the way up. Le'ela le'ela mikol birchasa v'shirasa, all the way le'ela le'ela, and now all of a sudden they sunk all the way back to the very beginning. Haloizeh hadova asher amartem, we said to you, leave us alone. Asher evashtem esricheinu. How do you go from such a high madrego all the way down? All the way down to the very, who is the era? Pashup Shah, we're not dealing with era. How do you explain this? So you'll say, okay, all the rationalists here, the scientists over here will say that's the human condition. Okay, it's a roller coaster. Chero Egel. All right, I'm not coming to deny Enoch and Ami. It's the human condition. You person can go mamish, mikotza lakotza. Absolutely. That's too pashut though. It's too pashut. There has to be something deeper. And I want to suggest the depth of what's going on over here is the reason why they reacted like this was because they saw the horses. The horses were a product of Yirah Shamayim. And the whole goal of Klal Yisrael, and it's in their psyche, and it's in the Torah, and it's Davar Pashut, Umo Hashem Elokecha Shoyl Me'imach. What does Hashem really want from you? What is the summary of the whole Torah? The summary of the entire, Moshe, I'll give you the cliff notes on the whole Torah, on Kol HaTorah Kula, of Shulchan Aruch, of Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifrei, Medrash Agada, Sichas Shedim Udekolim, and Sichas Malachi Hashareis. You know what the summary of Kol HaTorah Kula is? It's one pasuk. And Moshe says, you can't argue it, Umo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach, Ki Im LeYire Oisai. That's the end. That's the bottom line of everything. Yira Shemayim. And here, look what's happening. Hashem is taking Klal Yisrael out of Egypt to be His chosen nation. For what purpose? To give them the Torah. This, all this Mashiach. For what? Ki Im LeYire Oisai. And now they turn around, and who's coming chasing them? The Egyptians. Who cares? The Egyptians, the Shmipsons, who cares who's chasing us? But it's not just the Egyptians who are chasing us. They're riding on horses. Where did they get those horses from? Rashi, Hayorei Devar Hashem. The horses are a product of Yiras Elokim. We're big Yachsonim here. Hashem is taking us out of Egypt to be His chosen nation in order to achieve the exalted Madrega of Umo Hashem Elokecha, to teach the world Umo Hashem Elokecha Shomkim LeYire Oisai. The Egyptians, they also have Yirah Shamayim. The horses are a product of V'Hayorei Devar Hashem. The grace of Yachsonim, where Hashem has chosen people, look who's chasing after us. A product of Yiras Elokim, Hayorei Dvar Hashem. If there was no Hayorei Dvar Hashem, they wouldn't be able to do this. Oh, you know something? We're in a lot of trouble. Because we're not deserving. We're not deserving. When they first curse Moshe Rabbeinu, they say, you know, they're killing us. We're not worthy. What are we? More anachnu. We're nothing over here. Moshe says, no, I'm going to take you to Har Sinai, give you the Torah. Hashem, ki tavdunes elokim alo hor hazeh. We're going to bring you to the exalted. Okay, if Moshe says that we're worthy, we'll go along with the program. Moshe says Hashem's going to give us the Torah. Hashem's going to make us the chosen nation, the Zchus Avos. Okay, we'll go along with the program. They weren't. Now they're presented with a challenge that is very, very intense. If indeed it is so that we have been selected to be Hashem's chosen nation to receive the Torah and teach the world, but it seems now that we're not the only ones that are worthy of this. Look, the Egyptians also have Yiras Shamayim.
You're saying the Egyptians had a schus?
I'm saying the reason why. Forget about their schus. Rashi says kill them. Rashi tries to say that the Yiras Shamayim is like you're saying, it's not real. But that's in hindsight. At the moment, that's all in hindsight. At the moment right now, there is an emphasis. They saw the horses. And all of a sudden, they were so terrified, they went backwards to their madrega in the very, very beginning. They said now the same, Haloize Hadova, Asher Amarta, we told you this. How dare you talk to Moshe Rabbeinu like that after all of this?
Yeah. By Amalek. Only when Moshe raised his hand did he bring back the Yerushalayim to the people.
Right, but over here.
Were they afraid of Amalek after all this?
They were not afraid of Amalek. They went to battle. But here.
They were losing unless Moshe lifted his hand so people could have
Yerushalayim. But they didn't see in Amalek Yiras Shamayim. Amalek is velo yorei Elokim. There's nothing to worry about them in Amalek. They have no Yiras Shamayim. Here they saw Yiras Shamayim. They saw, that's what terror, you need to explain why they were so terrified, and more why they were terrified, how could they dare return to the lowest moment of Klal Yisrael when they said to Moshe, Ki hivashtem yere Hashem v'yishpoit, Hashem should judge you, because what you did to us, you've brought upon us suffering. That is the lowest moment of the Jewish people. Here, after everything that happened in the last few parashios, Shemos, Vo'ere, Bo, they've returned backwards to Parasha Shemos. Hayitochein. What are you worried about? No, so you're afraid you'll get through this also. So I'm trying to suggest this because the whole tafkid of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to be Hashem's chosen nation, which they intuitively understand is Umo Hashem Hashemachim Liyir Oisai. When Hashem now is showing them the Egyptians chasing after them with horses, which is a product of Hayore Devar Elokim, they melt. Who are we with such Yachzonim? How have we demonstrated Yiras Shamayim? Look at the Egyptians. They're just as good as us. No, instead of saying on the Kriyas Yams, Halalu Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, V'halalu Avodah Zarah, Pum Fakert, Halalu Yiras Shamayim, V'halalu Yiras Shamayim, Klal Yisrael Yiras Shamayim, and the Egyptians are Yiras Shamayim. They saw the horses, a product of Yiras Shamayim. They melted. We're really worthy. We're really worthy to be the Am HaNifchar. The Egyptians also have Yiras Shamayim. Look, the proof is right in front of us. And to this, Hashem says to them, their Yiras Shamayim is not the real deal. It's true. There's what to be afraid of. There's what to learn from. But this is not a Yiras Shamayim that can be sustained. It's a Yiras Ha'oinesh. It's for selfish reasons. It's not the type of Yiras Shamayim that Hashem is shoyl me'imach. And therefore, matitzak elai, daber el b'nei Yisrael, it's good. It's good you're afraid. Adarabah, it's a maila that you're afraid because you see Yirah Shamayim. Klal Yisrael had the chokhmah, had the insight to be afraid of someone's Yirah Shamayim. Adarabah, that's a maila. If they just saw Egyptians with no Yirah Shamayim, then you shouldn't be afraid. But to see someone's Yirah Shamayim, taka, that's impressive. That's right. It's a maila that you're afraid. That's a tremendous maila. That you appreciate that if someone has Yirah Shamayim, it's kedai to be afraid of them. Adarabah v'adarabah. Vayiru me'oid is warranted. It is a maila of Klal Yisrael to be afraid at this moment in time, because they've risen to a madrega of appreciating what Yirah Shamayim is all about. Okay, next vart. This vart is an important vart. I saw the yisoid of the vart in Shalemi Mitzion, Rabbi Felder. What was his first name? I forgot his first name already. Rabbi Felder in the Sefer of Aaron Felder, Rav Aaron Felder in the Sefer Shalemi Mitzion. He says the vart. He elaborates upon the vart very, very much. Very long arichus, and he says the vart is really not even his. It's rooted in the words of the Malbim. The Malbim says a dovar nifla ad me'oid. And I want to add to it a little knetch, a small little addition. But the vart is mamish gold, the finest gold, what the Malbim says. It is, think about it the entire week. We know that when it comes to the man, Klal Yisrael was told, go out and gather the man, and no matter how much you gathered, no matter how little you gathered, everyone walked home every day with one omer. Omer, and the pasuk says they went out, they collected vayilketu, they collected, and the pasuk tells you exactly how much man there was. And we're going to find the exact place. Very important. The words here. It is. I got over here. 1 second over here. Vayimodu vaomer. They measured. Let me read the whole pasuk. Pasuk Yitzayin says. It's in Perek Tes Zayin. I know that Mark likes to psukim. Mark is very tired because jet lag from Eretz Yisrael. Vayasuchen ben Yisrael vayilketu hamarbe vahamamed. It says the Pharaohs in the pasuk, they collected. They made a collection. Vayomodu v'amem v'loy hedif hamarbe v'hamam v'loy hechse ish v'yachlo lokatu. Vayomem, and whatever they collected was exactly the same. Let me go back. You know, let me go back. Let me go back to what it says before. They saw the man. Okay, they went out to collect the man. Zeh hadav asher tziv Hashem liktu mimenu ish lefi ochle omer lagogoles an omer lagogoles mispar nafshoisechem ish l'ashev lo tikach. Everyone take one omer. They did so. They collected. Everyone came home with exactly one omer. Moshe tells them, don't leave over, eat it. V'loy Shamuel Moshe, they didn't listen. They left over for a rainy day. What happened? There were worms. And then the pasuk does something very bizarre. It repeats it all over again. Vayilkitu oisoi baboiker baboiker ish kefi ochloi v'cham hashemesh v'namos. Why does it say in pasuk they collect? It already told us they collected. Why is there repetition? It says twice they collected. Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says Vayasu Chen Bnei Yisrael Vayilkitu, they collected Hamarbe VeHamamit. And then two psukim later it says Vayilkitu Oisoy BaBoiker BaBoiker Ish Kifi Ochloi. Why does it have to say they collected? Question number two: why is it that when they collected the first time it says Vayasu? It says they with a lamed. And then when it says they collected a second time, it says vayilkutu oisoy baboiker baboiker ish ki fi ochloi with a chaf. So we have two questions. Why does it tell us that it was collected twice? And why the first time does it say lifi ochloi and the second time it says kifi ochloi?
By
Shabbos it says twice also.
Okay, let's focus on these two for the moment. These two. So Rafelda says the following thing in the name of the Malbim, which again, Devarim Nifloim. What happened in between the first collecting and the second collecting? What happened was they left over. It says, V'loishamol Moshe, V'ayosidim mime anoshim imenu ad boiker. They left over. Who are those people? By the way, Dosan V'aviram. And they were worms. So in between the first collecting, Lifi Ochloi, and the second collecting, Kifi Ochloi, is a story. They disobeyed a direct order and they left over man, and they were worms. Reifelde says this, where does it say the measure of an omer? By the first collecting. The second time, there's no mention of an omer. So he says in the crowd the following. An omer, by the way, is a lot. 43 and two-thirds of an egg. Okay, today it costs a lot of money today to buy so many eggs. It's a lot. Tell me, you really need to eat so much a day? If your wife saw you eat so much a day, she would go crazy. So much a day? 43 eggs worth of food?
Per person.
Per, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. How they schlep? Exactly. It's quite a, it's a lot. It's a lot. What about a child? An infant also had an omer. It's a lot of food.
And he wasn't allowed to leave over.
And you're not allowed to leave over. What's going on? It's a lot. So the story is as follows. They brought home quite a lot. And Moshe said, there's no dieting when it comes to the omer. This is not cheesecake. The omer has no calories. There's nothing to worry about. It's delicious. It can be whatever you want. And after you have one portion, have another portion. Have another portion. Have dessert. Have a gourmet meal. 8 courses. And you won't gain 1 pound. You'll be thin. No Weight Watchers in the desert. Everyone's going to be thin and healthy and robust.
Had to eat the whole amount to be satisfied?
Moshe said, yeah. No. You were satisfied right away. This is what he says, Reifelder. Eat and enjoy. It's so hard for us to appreciate this because we're so damaged. We have to watch our weight. Don't take a second portion and don't eat this and don't eat that.
If we had the fun, we wouldn't have the problem.
Moshe said, you're going to bring home every day an enormous amount of food for everyone in your family. And Moshe says, Hashem put you in this world to enjoy. Take a second portion. Snack. Take the koilel. Some mun, share it with your friends, eat to your fill, eat your heart's content. Ish lifi ochloi, there's a lamed. Eat lifi according to the food that you have in your possession. Lifi, according to Rabbi Felder, what it means is everyone's going to bring home an enormous amount. Eat all you want, a second portion, a third portion. Don't leave over. You have no need to worry about gaining weight, about cholesterol, about blood pressure, about sodium. Forget about all this nonsense. Eat, eat, eat. Hashem wants to bless you. They ate a half a portion, like they're used to. And they were very careful not to think about having too much sodium and not to have anything high cholesterol. And not to have anything, the doctor says, you know, they were very careful how to eat, and they ate just enough, and they were satisfied. What do we do with all the rest? What do we do with the rest of the food? You know what? Maybe tomorrow it's not going to come down. Let's put away for a rainy day. Okay, the next day, Hashem says, you know, I told you people, I gave you in abundance, and I told you not to worry about your diet, and told you not to worry about. I told you to enjoy yourself, have a gourmet meal, eat like Pesach, eat to your heart's content, and you don't trust me, you don't believe me, you only ate everyone just a small amount, you ate a tenth of what I gave you. So you know what? From now on, you know how much money is going to fall for you for the next 40 years. Exactly what you ate the first day. When it says in the pasuk that everyone took home an omer, that was on the first day. And that was a test. everyone, I don't need it in a whole Omer. I'll just eat a small amount and save the rest. Oh, so you have basically defined for yourself, this is what I need. I only need to eat 2 kizesim. Okay, so from now on, for the rest of the 40 years, no matter how much you collect, you will bring home kifi with a chaf. No more lamed. What you have demonstrated is what you need. And there's no set.
If a person was sick the first day, he couldn't eat, so that's all he got the rest. We're
not, no one was sick. Let's not discuss exceptions. No one was sick in the desert. No one was sick. Let's not. Mimela, the next day, there's no second portion the next day. You defied Hashem's blessing. Hashem, on the first day, he sent down, like you go to a wedding, you don't eat the same way you eat a Pesach Seder every single day. The Pesach Seder, you go to a hotel, they serve you this food like you've never seen before, and you stuff it away, you can't fit into your clothing the next day. You don't do that every day, you do it once a year. Hashem told you, I want to do this for you every single day for 40 years, and you won't gain any weight, you'll fit into your clothing, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about your health, you don't have to worry about your, do it. And you don't believe me. You don't believe me. So you were stingy. What?
They sat down to only eat one time, or they had spread out over the day?
Over the entire day, Hashem gave them on the first day in Omer. And Hashem said, by the time the day is over, I want you to enjoy. I'm giving you blessing. You go to a hotel, there's breakfast. And then there's the tea room. And then there is the second breakfast. And then there's an early lunch. And then there's the regular lunch. And then there's the second lunch. And then there's the tea room again. And I want you to eat like in a hotel every single day. I'm giving every single person an Omer. And don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the same thing. Klal Yisrael didn't believe in Hashem. They didn't trust him. Who says... Okay, but they had an effect. They had an effect. What they did affected the whole Klal Yisrael. And no, I don't need to eat so much. I just will take an egg and a cup of pomegranate juice for breakfast. Hashem said, okay, that's all you need a whole day? You don't trust me? Okay, so from now on, for the next 40 years, when the mun falls, all you're going to get it when the mun falls is an egg, a hard-boiled egg, and some pomegranate juice. That's all you're going to get for the rest of the next 40 years. Because you don't believe in me. I gave you in abundance and you don't want to take advantage. And you have decided what you need, only the small amount. So that's what you're going to get. Therefore, the first time it says they collected lifi with a lamed. Lifi ochloi. And how much was lifi ochloi? Oimer lagul goyles. The Oichel is defining, the Lamed is Lifi, is defining the Omer Lagul Goyles. Then when they've sinned and they left over, oh, you don't believe me? So you know what's going to fall for you every single day? Ish Kifi Ochloi. Here, Ochloi doesn't mean the Omer. It means the amount of food that you demonstrated that you need to live on every single day, and there's no double portion, there's no tea room, there's no dinner, there's nothing, because you don't have faith in me.
But it was still enough for them.
It was still enough, but ain't a dime. You lost the tainuk. All you have one meal a day. Yeah, you survived one meal a day. You can survive on a crumb of bread. You can survive. But Hashem wanted to give them benefit of having unlimited food. You don't trust Hashem. You put away for a rainy day. Okay, so you don't trust me. How much did you need that day to survive on that day? How much did you demonstrate that you need? What you demonstrate you need, that's what you're gonna get every single day. That's how he answers the contradiction between lifi ochloi and kifi ochloi. And what changed in the middle is v'lo shamu el Moshe v'yosidu dosen v'avim. They led the way by demonstrating this, and that's why it's written twice v'yilkutu lifi ochloi kifi ochloi. And in what changed in between the lifi ochloi and the omer and kifi without the omer was the rebellion against Hashem. Vayosir v'lo shamu el Moshe vayosir minuad boiker. So even though it says only by dosam va'aviram, basically he's suggesting is that they were leaders and what they did influenced other people as well. Now, that's the area. We're running out of time. That's the end of the Vart, Rabbi Felder. I want to add to this the following. Okay, that's the end of the Vart.
and says Shei Oimer Lecha by Oimer Shishi. They got two times. Again, it was the Oimer. Twice.
That was Yom Shishi. They got double according. They got double of what they need. They got double. Yom Shishi was different. What?
The Oimer. And you said the Oimer was.
Where does it say by Shabbos? Which pasuk? What pasuk?
That's the pasuk Chaf Beis.
Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vahiba Yom Shishi Lachtu Lechem Mishne Shnei Oimer. Okay, you're right. You're very good. You're right. So you have to suggest. I felt the right is that Shabbos was different. Shabbos Hashem gave them back the Omer, but not during the week. Okay, you're right. You're good. Excellent. Excellent. What you're saying is true. It says Shabbos. You're right. You can't deny what it says. It says Shnimer. But that's for Shabbos. But during the week, Rabbi Felder says this is the chilik for the other days of the week. It was a punishment. Fine. Now, I want to add to this the following. Rashi says, who are the people who are left over? Dosan Vaviram. Dosan Vaviram, go back to Parsha Shemos, were the task were the taskmasters. They were the kapos. And Paro said, we're not giving you straw. We're not giving straw. So go collect the straw. You know what happened? There was a shortage. Not a surplus. Here, there was a surplus. You collected an omer. I don't need an omer. Hashem says, don't worry. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy. I know you only need a kazayis, but no, have a second portion. Have eat lunch three times. Enjoy yourself. Don't worry. When they went out to collect, there was another collection that happened in the Jewish people. Instead of going to collect mon, they went out to collect straw. They Klal Yisrael had a lot of practice collecting. They were good collectors. They knew how to collect the mon because they had a lot of practice collecting straw. And when they collected straw, there was a shortage, not a surplus. There wasn't an omer of straw. There was a shortage. And the Egyptian people, they came, they said, no, where are the bricks? We want 1,000 bricks. Why are there only 900 bricks? Sorry, buddy. Too bad for you. Too bad for us. Took out the whip, and they beat them. Who were the taskmasters in charge? Dosan Vaviram. And Dosan Vaviram accepted the blows. They got it. That's right. Beat us. We're not telling our brethren to go work harder. We'll take it. You can beat us all you want. We will suffer for the shortage. If there's anyone in the world who knew what it meant, a shortage, and the pain that accompanies a shortage, it's Dosan Vaviram. So tell me, could you blame Dosan Vaviram now? It's deja vu. Now I should go out into the field and collect. Instead of collecting straw, collect the golden mon. Wow, a whole new collection. And this time, there's a surplus. Don't you think in their mind it brought back the bitter memories of collecting straw and there was a shortage? Now they're collecting and there's a surplus. So what is the natural thing to do? A surplus? Oh, put away for a rainy day? Because if only I could have put away some straw, a surplus of straw for a rainy day, I wouldn't be black and blue. I wouldn't be full of being whipped. So could you really blame Dosan Vaviram for putting away the surplus for a rainy day? They had the scars to trust us. Mon doesn't always come down. Let's put away the surplus for a rainy day. And yet, Hashem says, sorry, Dosan Vaviram, there's no excuse. Even though if there's anyone in Klal Yisrael that could have an excuse for putting it away, when Hashem tells you something, you obey. When Hashem tells you, have faith in me, it's not now a time to be stingy. Every midah a person has, there's a time and a place to have a certain midah. Dosan Vaviram excelled to the highest madrega in knowing how to deal with a shortage. And that would naturally mean that they would train themselves that when there's a surplus, you know, you have to prepare for the future. But now is not the time to embrace that midah. Now is the time to be generous. They didn't listen to Moshe. They didn't listen. Now is not the time. Dosan Vaviram, they have a very good, you know, they have an excuse. You know, we know what it's like. That's right. That's the challenge of life. There's a time and a place for everything. When you collected straw, there was a shortage. If you had a good day and you had a surplus, that's right. That would be the appropriate thing to do. Dosan improve themselves to know how to deal with the situation of a shortage. But now is not a time of shortage. Now Hashem has promised, has said, I'm going to give you every single day in abundance. And now you have to train yourself not to use that midah of being mekabel, of worrying what's going to be tomorrow. Now is the time to demonstrate your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and consume every last crumb of the Omer. And you don't believe me? You want to still live with an Egyptian mentality? You want to go back into the mindset of Egypt? You left Mitzrayim. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Now is not a time to be stingy and to worry about shortages. Dosan Vavim was they were living in the past. It's not a time to live in the past. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Leman tizkeres yoyim tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Now you're in Hashem's hands. Now if Hashem tells you I'm going to give you an Omer every single day, it's a different story. It's time to step into the future. Put your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have faith in Moshe. Have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't live back in the time of Egypt. Get out of Egypt. You're out of Egypt. V'loy Shamuel Moshe. It's hard. It's a big nisayon. No one's denying it. It's not a big nisayon. And in this nisayon, they failed. And it's a Musar Haskel for us. The Masha Hoya Kvar Hoya. When you come to a new madrega of emunah, embrace it. Don't fall back to where you were in the past.